Jehovah Rapha, you're my healer. By your stripes I have been, oh, I'm free.
Lord Jesus, we're so grateful that when we sing this song, it's not just a pretty chorus, it's a reality. Lord, you take us through the good times, you take us through the bad times.
Yes.
We go over the mountains, we go through the valleys, we go through the fire, we go through the flood. Oh, and constantly we are finding out that you are more than enough. Oh, how you love us. How you love us. How you take care of us. All you want to do is just completely take care of us. Just the whole thing. And all you ask is, just give that to me. Just give that sorrow to me. Give that problem you have. I'll take it. But Lord, you won't wrestle it out of our hands. You won't grab that burden and rip it off our shoulder. You say, you need to give that to me. And Lord, you won't just grab a spirit of evil off of us if we don't want you to. But you say, give that to me. I'll take it from you. Lord Jesus, this morning we come before you, Father. There's such an atmosphere here. I believe the Holy Spirit is here. You are here yourself, Lord, to minister to our needs. And Lord, your Bible says, your word says, that the word will not return void, but will accomplish what you send it for. Lord, I claim that promise this morning too. I ask that you would now come and speak and reveal yourself again. Amen. If you want to turn in your Bible to Isaiah chapter 60. Hope everyone's having a wonderful week. Great time. Got to hang out with some of the young people yesterday. Had a wonderful experience. Did some hiking and kayaking and talking. I just really enjoyed that. Appreciate the atmosphere that was there. Isaiah 60 verse 1. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. You can have a seat if you would. Thursday night we read this scripture. We preached on this a little bit. And I don't want to get into what we did Thursday night, but I do want to use this to start off here. And I'm going to ask a question this morning. And we want to be able to identify this. The question is, who are you? Who are you? You're going to find out that you need to know who you are. You need to know who you are. If there's any question, you need to find out for sure. Because either arise and shine, your light has come, or gross darkness is covering you. It's one of the two, brother and sister. It has nothing to do if you're sitting in this church. It has to do with your walk with Jesus Christ. Because the light is shining, it's rising. The glory of the Lord is being seen upon his people. And it's becoming stronger and stronger. But as much as the light is shining, the darkness is growing thicker and thicker on the other side. And so, brother and sister, you're fulfilling one of these two things. Either this is good morning, this is a new day, this is the bright age. You're almost ready for the rapture. Or you are getting darker and darker under condemnation and sin and religion. Are you walking in the light this morning? Or are you walking in the dark? Are you a free man this morning, or are you a slave? Are you a child of promise, or are you slave to fleshly lusts hidden underneath your religion? Well, Brother Phil, I think it should be this way. I think this, I think that. I do too. But I'm wrong. I don't understand this, Brother Phil. I don't either. But I cannot find a place in the Bible where God is obligated and say, now, Phil, I need you to understand this because I need your approval of what I'm doing here. He never asked me for my approval. He didn't ask, do you understand this, Phil? He said, you go preach the word and let it have the effect in you that I want it to have. Be a free man. Be a free woman. Live free in the Holy Spirit. You can be free or you can be a slave. You're going to be a slave to Christ. You're going to be a slave to the devil. You're going to be a slave to somebody. Choose which you want to be, a slave in light or a slave in dark. And it's easy to tell, folks. You don't have to sit there and wonder. I just don't know. It's easy to tell. Look at the characteristics. You know anything by his characteristics? Do you have the characteristics of a believer? Or do you not? Do you walk in faith of the promise? God said it, I believe it, that settles it, I'm going forward. Or do you walk in, I'm not sure, I don't know, well, I don't know about this, well, I don't know. What are you walking in? Sometimes I feel like a believer, sometimes I don't. Then ask if you felt like it. We all get to places we don't feel like believers. Who never gets to that point? Raise your hand. I'm going to tell you what, I need to see your wings. If you're at a place where you say, I never don't feel like a believer, I'm going to say you are on drugs. You're not living in reality because, brother and sister, we all do things and we all go through stuff that we don't feel like believers. Do you walk like a believer? That's the question. What's your confession? What's coming out of your mouth? From the heart, your mouth speaks. Brother and sister, we must know who we are. And it can't just be a doctrine. We all say, well, you know, all messed up believers, well, I'm part of the bride. I'm a messed up believer. And that means, to a lot of people, that means you're part of the bride. Well, it doesn't. There is 1,000 times 1,000 messed up believers who are messed up believers who are not part of the bride. Because it's just a doctrine to them. And we believe this because it's a doctrine. The Bible says it, the message says it, so we believe it. But it has to go way beyond just a doctrine that you believe because Brother Branham said it. It has to become such a reality to you. It's a revelation that you look at yourself and you say, there's no way the rapture can go without me because I have become one with the Word. Christ and I have become one. He prayed, let them be one like we are one. And he said, that's what we get. That's our promise in this day is the bride and the Word are so one. When you look at the Word and you can't help seeing yourself, that's when you get into rapturing material. It's not you convincing yourself. It's not you talking yourself into believing. It's that you can't help but see Christ. Oh my. You can't do that to yourself. This isn't some kind of a thing you work out in your mind. Well, I'm just going to believe this. No, just don't do that, all right? What has God spoke to you? That's what you believe. Well, he ain't spoke to that me. Well, just take what he has already said to you and believe that, and then he can keep adding more to it and adding more to it. The problem is what we want is we're going to go from 0 to 100 miles an hour in 1 second. And it don't work that way. You grow into Christ. You go by the preaching of the word, and it comes and changes you a little bit here and a little bit there and a little bit there. And sometimes you're looking around and you say, it seems like I'm going nowhere. It just seems like I'm staying one place. I just don't know what's going on. And then 6 months later, you're ready to do the same thing again. It seems like I'm going, wait a minute. Look what I was 6 months ago compared to what I am now. That garden you planted, you know, 3 months, 3 weeks into that garden, you might have some radishes in there. Like, man, I ain't getting nowhere. I'm just sitting here, just a little leaf. Ain't got no radishes at all. Give them 3 more weeks. Woo, look what's going on down there. Patience. Patience. Let God fulfill his word. Brother Branham says this, it's just like a man that's got money in the bank, he can't write a check. The other one can write a check, he ain't got no money in the bank. If you could ever get them together, to get a Pentecostal to recognize who he is. So he's talking about the Pentecostals back there, they had all the spirit, and they would have wonderful spirit-filled meetings, and they could shout and speak in tongues and miracles, and all this was happening. But they didn't recognize by the word who they were in the word. He said, you get the fundamentals. They can recognize all this fundamental teaching. They can take the Bible and see who they are. Yet Christ, the letter killeth, the spirit giveth life. Then you've got it made. When you can take the spirit and you add it to the word and it comes together, that produces Christ. But it's by revelation. We got so many message believers who are just so fundamental. They can tell you everything the prophet said. Brother Branham said this. Brother Branham said this. Brother Branham said this. You can go out to a bar here in Dixon and talk to message believers, and they can tell you half the things Brother Branham said. Sure they can, and they think that makes them a believer, and they think they're okay because they can tell you what the prophet said, because their daddy could, because their mom said, because whoever was in the message and the meetings and all that, they can tell you everything the prophet said. They're fundamentally right, seeing they're getting drunk on the bar.
All it's going to do is condemn them.
He said, so I pray that someday I'll see that great uniting together of all the body of Jesus Christ coming together as one great big body. Uh-oh. See what it takes? It takes a uniting. You have to become one with Christ. Just your own personal relationship. Just you and Christ. No one else is in that relationship, brother and sister. It's just you and Jesus Christ alone. You don't bring your wife, your husband, your kids, your mom, your dad, your babies, anything else. It's just you and Jesus Christ. But see, when you get that unity, my goodness, we're going to have a good time. When you get that unity, when it's just you and Christ, and then you get with someone else who has that same unity, and you got that same spirit, and you get a union together because it's Christ joining with Christ in his body, then the rapture will come. That's what he said. He said, when we can all come together, one great big body, then the rapture shall come. Oh, you want to get in the rapture? Get yourself right with God. Get that unity between you and the word. Get everything else out of the way. Die to your own ideas. Die to your own religion. Die to your own feelings. Die to your own hurt feelings. Die to your own bitterness. Die to everything else that can separate you from God. Oh. And then you start getting being joined to the body. Oh. What a time. Brother Brandt said, the new birth is Christ. It's a revelation. It's not a sensation. All right? The new birth is not a sensation couldn't come with it, but your confidence is not in the sensation. That makes sense? I love getting in the spirit and just crying and the spirit coming. It feels so good. There's nothing to compare to it except the revelation of Jesus Christ speaking to you, which is even greater, because that's what your revelation is. The birth is Christ is a revelation. It's not a sensation. Don't come up here seeking a sensation. Don't come up here seeking an emotion or anything like that. Come up here, Brother Branham, seeking the truth. Jesus Christ speaks to you. I'm going to get so happy today. Jesus Christ speaks to you, and you recognize it. And it's that simple, and that's revealing himself to you. He's saying, this is what I have for you. This is what I'm telling you today. What's he tell you today? He woke me up this morning, and I got out of bed, and the anointing was running on me, brother and sister. He was saying, I'm here. Oh my goodness, what's that like, brother or sister? What's it like to have him right there with you? Just whenever he just says, hey, I just want you to know, I love you. That'll take the rest of the day. If you walk in it. You still feel that? Well, it's not the feeling, brother and sister. It's just him speaking. Let me go on. The new birth is Christ, is a revelation. God has revealed to you this great mystery. What's this great mystery? Christ, the Word for your day. Christ, the Word for your day, living through you, manifest to you, you and Christ personally. That's the great revelation. It's that simple. It is that simple. What are we trying to figure out? What are we trying to figure out? What are we looking for? What are we waiting on? God looking for a believer, a child of the promise, who when he gives you a promise, you stand on it and say, this is mine. That's what makes you a believer. Yeah, brother Phil, I believe that, but you don't know all the problems I have in my life. You don't know all the weaknesses I still have. Okay. Walk out of here as a make-believer then, because that's what that is, brother and sister. When God speaks to you and you accept it, that makes you righteous. That's God's holiness, simply because you accepted what he preached. And he looks at you and says, I love that. Look at this, my believer, my child, they're a believer. And you walk out and you get some temper tantrum and you do some lustful thing or whatever, and you're so tore up. And he said, yeah, but you're a believer. You see what you did? You accepted this. You just stand on that. Let me take care of this other stuff for you. Oh, my goodness. Satan's over there. Ah! I'm losing him. Why? Because you stand on the word God said to you, God spoke to you, and you ignore all that evidence that Satan has against you. But I'm sinning, I'm doing things wrong. Yes, you are. What does that have to do with the promise God gave you? You know what you do? You say, God, I have this weakness here. I can't get over my temper, I can't get over my lust, I can't get over my whatever it is I'm having problem with. He says, you give that to me, I give it to you. I want to be free. You really want to be free? I want to be free. I'll set you free. You just stand on the promise. How do you know it works, Brother Phil? Because I'm a living testimony. A living testimony. This is how God sets me free. This is how God sets you free. You stand on the promise and you give it to him. But see, what we do is we stand on the promise until we see our life, and then we step off of it, go over here and try and fix this up. We get all discouraged. We step off the promise. Well, I know, brother, you know, I thought when I was in church, if God spoke to me, I thought he did, but now I just don't know anymore. It's Tuesday and I'm just having such a hard time. Why? You stepped off the promise. Stay on the promise. Stand there. And let Satan hit you with the bulldozer. And you stand there. Because if you're on the promise, even his bulldozer can't knock you down. You step off the promise, and he can knock you down with a feather. You stand on the promise, and he can drop a nuclear bomb on you, atomic bomb, boom. And you're standing on the promise, you're safe. His whole thing is to get you off, to forget what he said. Because then you handcuff God. He says, I can't help you. You're no longer walking in faith. You're no longer standing in the promise. You're looking at your life. You're looking at all the things that are going wrong. You know, all your weaknesses and all that. And you say, well, if I could just do this, I could be a believer. No, you'll be a believer first. You're a believer first. Christ, God has revealed to you this great mystery. And that's the new birth. The revelation is the new birth. Now, what are you going to do when you get that whole group together where the revelation is perfectly in harmony? Again, he's stressing the harmony, the unity. That's why strife is so evil. That's why you can't have people bringing in spirits. You can't have this one doing this and that one doing that and calling on the phone and, hey, let's get, you know, I don't like this or whatever. All this stuff that goes on is spirits trying to break that unity. He says we need to be in harmony. It's got to be in harmony. And God expressing it through his word by the same actions, the same thing that he did, making the word manifest, the same action. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He said, oh, if the church only knew its position. Well, every one of us could stand up and say, I know my position, I'm part of the bride. Absolutely, absolutely. We all can say that. But the problem is so much of that is still just a doctrine and it's not a reality from a heart. Why? Because we haven't got to that point yet where it's been revealed.
It's coming, we're on the way, but it comes little by little, and you grow into it, and you get more faith and more faith as you see more Christ in your life, and you see less of the world, and it brings you more faith. It's not something you just get like that. It's not something that, well, I know I'm part of the bride, I'm ready to go, let the rapture come. That's not the way it happens, brother and sister. You have to walk into it. It's a relationship between you and Christ. He prayed, let them be one as we are one. You got to have that same union with him that he had with the Father. Oh my goodness, what is he saying? What are you saying, Brother Phil? Are you kidding? Do you know how weak I am? Do you know my problems? I'm saying what the Word says about you. Do you dare to stand on the Word and take that promise? Or do you look at your evidence against you? He said, if the church only knew its position, it will one day. Oh, hallelujah. There's another promise. It will one day. Don't get discouraged. Know that one day you are going to know exactly what you are. You are the bride of Jesus Christ. And it's not just something you're convincing yourself in your head. It's not just something you're trying to produce. It's something that's such a reality that you can never doubt it anymore. So stop trying to figure it out. He said, if the church only knew its position, it will one day. Then the rapture will go when the church knows what it is. That's when the rapture is going to happen. When we know who we are. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So, brothers and sisters, that's why we come to church. That's why we listen to tapes. That's why we pray. That's what is it? It's not to get religious. It's not because this is what you're supposed to. It's to get that union with Jesus Christ, that relationship stronger and stronger. And we go about trying to do it on our own. You can't, folks. You can't produce this. Israel tried producing it all the way through the Old Testament. Ever since they got the law, they're trying to produce it. It couldn't happen. It had to take Jesus Christ coming on the scene, dying, and covering your sin with his blood so that we can get back in union with God. And then Satan comes and gives us every kind of religion he can to try and break that union with our religion. Remember this. Christ in the true church is a continuation of the book of Acts. Read Acts. See what the church was back then. Then compare that to us. That's what we're supposed to be. You say, well, we're not there yet, Brother Phil. It's coming. Why aren't we there yet? Why have we not come to that point where they, like it wasn't Acts? Individuals not walking with Christ. That's what it is. It's individuals, folks. And God's going to keep moving. And if you don't keep up, you're going to be left behind. Continuation of the book of Acts. But the book of Revelation shows how the Antichrist spirit would come into the church and defile it, making it lukewarm, formal, and powerless. The spirit of strife doing that. It exposes Satan, revealing his works. Attempted destruction of God's people, discrediting of God's word. So what Satan is trying to do is destroy you and discredit the word so that when the word comes across the pulpit, you say, well, I don't know about that. I don't like that. Or this is, I'm not sure, but I feel I ain't never seen this before. This is not the way it's supposed to be going. I don't understand it. What is it? It's trying to discredit the word so it doesn't have the effect it's supposed to have. Right down to the time he is cast into the lake of fire. He fights that. He cannot stand it. He knows that if the people get the true revelation of the true church and what she is, again, we must know who we are, knows what she is, what she stands for. She can do the greater work. She will be an invincible army. Are we an invincible army yet, brother and sister? Yes, we are. Yes, we're an invincible army. If you stand on the word, as long as you're on the word, you're invincible. When Satan talks you off of that, you're no longer invincible. It's the revelation that you stand on. Not a feeling. It's what God has said to you. What he's revealed to you. If they get the true revelation of the church, if they get the true revelation of the two spirits within the framework of the Christian church, and by God's Spirit discern and withstand the Antichrist spirit, Satan will be powerless before her. Brother and sister, let me tell you something right now. Satan is powerless before you right now if you will stand on the word. What do you have need of? Satan is powerless. If you will take God at his word and stand there, he cannot move you from it. You're an invincible army. He is powerless before you. He hates revelation. Because that's what makes, you know what he'll do? He'll hand out feelings. He'll hand out anointing. He'll hand out good, all this wonderful, what we call churchianity or whatever. All these traditions we like walking in. But he will not. He will do everything he can to keep you from getting a revelation. He'll bring you to church with a bad attitude. He'll bring you to church just tore up about something. He'll bring you to church with, well, this is going on and that's going on. And I can't even concentrate on what Phil's speaking on. What's he doing? He's trying to destroy you. He's trying to discredit you because he knows that if you will stand on revelation, he's powerless before you. That's what the word says. You don't have to believe it, but that's what the word says, all right? It's up to you. He will be as definitely thwarted today as when Christ withstood his every effort to gain power over him in the desert. Satan hates revelation, but we love it. With true revelation of our lives, in our lives, the gates of hell cannot prevail against you, but we will prevail over them. Depends on your revelation. Who are you? Who are you? Answer the question to yourself. Who am I? Who do I stand for? What are my characteristics? Look at yourself and say, who am I? Is this just me coming to church because this is what I do? Or is this God doing a work in my life? Is just God keeping me here? Have I tried to leave? He brought me back. Or whatever the situation you're in. Why am I here? What's going on? Who am I? Look in your own life and look. Watch. Has the Holy Spirit been the one bringing you here? Or is it just you and your family? What's the problem? In Hebrews, I think it says something like this. Call to remembrance when you were first illuminated, first were enlightened by the message of God, when you first came to Christ, and then you endured a great fight of affliction. Sometimes we need to go back and remember when God first started dealing with this, and the way we walked, and the peace and the joy and all that, and now look where you're at now. Are you still walking in that, or has it gotten cold? Have you gotten lukewarm? Here's what Brother Branham said. God's people in these last days has forgotten what the testimony of being a Christian means. It's again, this amnesia has become upon the people. They can't identify themselves. They forgot all about it. They forgot his holiness. They forget his law. What is it, brother and sister? We forget what it meant to be the New Testament church. Last Sunday we heard a Brother Tim Horner saying that there's a church rising up, a New Testament church rising up. What a blessing. Think about it. There's a New Testament church rising up. Amen. Are we part of that church? Can we identify ourselves there? Can we look at the book of Acts and say, I see myself represented in the book of Acts? Amen. Do you see it? Who are you? Or have you forgot what it means to be a Christian? Have you forgot what it means to withstand persecution? Have you forgot what it means to stand there when your whole family rejects you because for the sake of Christ? Have you forgot what it means to sit there and let the word come and slice and dice and set you free? We want a comfortable place to go to church. We want a nice traditional message church. We want a place where we just understand what's going on. We want a place where we can just sit there and just get along with everyone. Let's just be a nice, happy family. Of course you do. Everybody wants that. But do you want that in the efforts of yourself, or do you want that unity because Christ has set you free? Do you want that unity? God, Christ has driven out the spirits. He set you free from the weakness. He set you free from your doubts and fears and sin. He set you free to live free in Christ. Or do you just want to struggle on your own efforts so it's more comfortable? More comfortable. I'm going to tell a story that happened several years ago. Message Church. Church was having financial problems.
It wasn't this church, Dixon. It was having financial problems.
And there was a married couple there. They decided that they were going to give a contribution to the church.
It's a very sizable contribution. I'm sure y'all know the story.
Very sizable contribution, and they decided we're going to give some of this money to the church. And so there was some kind of a meeting. I don't think it was a church meeting, but there was a meeting going on. And so the brother was going to take this and give it to the minister, the pastor, whoever was there. His wife wasn't with him at the time. She was busy doing something. She's going to come later. So he shows up, and he gives his money to the preacher, and the preacher starts questioning him, and the Holy Spirit reveals something to him. And right there in front of everybody, he called him out by name. He humiliated him. It's in Acts. He said, Ananias, why are you lying to the Holy Spirit?
He fell dead on the spot. That's the New Testament church.
They took him out and buried him. His wife came 3 hours later. Brother Peter was the one speaking. He said, Sapphira, did you sell this land for such and such? He said, yes, we did. He said, oh, Satan's got into you too, huh? He embarrassed her. He humiliated her in front of everyone. And then God struck her dead. Let's put things in perspective. Last Sunday wasn't all that bad, was it? That's the New Testament church that God wants. When someone comes in here with a bad spirit, with a lying spirit, he's going to strike them dead. Now, who wants that kind of church? We don't want that. No, we do not. Because we want to be able to come in here with a bad attitude and sit here and soak a little while. God's not going to have that. This church is going in a rapture, and either you get on board or you get out.
Now, who wants that kind of a church? You know what it said? People were terrified. They were afraid to join themselves up. They said, oh my goodness, you hang around with those people, you get struck dead.
Thursday night, I was preaching. My, I didn't have to say this. Thursday night, I was preaching, and it was going on. And I got to the point where I started talking about when David, Sunday, he came up here, and he was anointed, and he was a vindication of what I had preached was true. And all of a sudden, it seemed like I was preaching into a fog. And I even stopped. I said, I feel like I'm not getting this across. It just seems like there's something going on. And I just, well, it's just me, because the anointing up here was very strong. But when I was trying to preach, and it was just like trying to push, and there's some kind of resistance coming back. And I said, oh, that's just my imagination. Last night I was praying. I was getting ready for this service, and God, just he interrupted my prayer. He just said, that was not your imagination. There was resistance. People didn't like it. They were feeling bad. They were feeling sorry for the Horners or whoever. It wasn't the Horners it was coming from, because only Sister Joyce was the only one here except Brother David, and he wasn't resisting. So someone else, and I don't want to know who it was, but there was resistance going on, because when I started vindicating, the word vindicating what had been preached, they put up a shield against it. So, oh no, I don't think so. That's what the word told me last night.
Now, you can accept it or not, but I'm standing on what God told me. It's uncomfortable to be a Christian. It's hard to be a Christian. You have to die to yourself to be a Christian, to be a New Testament Church of Acts, to identify yourself with that. You got to look at yourself and say, I'm getting everything go because I want to be that.
They've forgotten. Brother Brandon said, they have forgotten that was Jesus Christ back there. They've forgotten that was Jesus Christ. They've forgotten. They thought he was just a lawmaker or a prophet or a good man. And that's what the message believers think he is. He was just a good man. He just wanted us all to be happy together. He just wanted to have a nice church where y'all can go and be comfortable going to a nice church. That is not the New Testament church. The They forgot he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The church has gotten a bad case of spiritual amnesia. They've forgotten all these things. They don't understand it anymore. Go back and read your Bible, folks. Read the book of Acts and then compare yourself. How would you have fit into that group of believers? How many of you would go to jail for what you believe? How many of us would get beat for what we believe? How many of us would get kicked out of church for what we believe? How many of us kicked out of our family for what we believe? That's what it means to be a Christian. You're going to stand one day, shoulder to shoulder, with women who had, pregnant women that had their bellies ripped open and their soldiers are bent on the gender of the child in there. And you're going to stand side by side and say, yeah, I went with just as much of what you went through. And they're going to look at you in awe and say, how did you make it through that age? And you're going to look at them and say, how did you not get bitter towards God? God allowed that to happen to you. And they're going to look at you and say, how did you overcome all hell being turned loose on you in that age? Oh my goodness. How many millions of demons have been turned loose against us, brother and sister, and yet you sit here listening to the word being preached? You better believe there's angels protecting you. They kept you alive up to this point. They're going to keep you alive until you're ready to go. And when you fulfill your purpose, let's get out of here anyways. Who wants to stick around? Oh my goodness. Jesus promised just before the end time, it was as it was in Sodom, it would be today. I'm sorry, let me go back a little bit. Oh, they said they believed there was a Messiah, but when the Messiah came and identified himself by the word, they had so many traditions till they had made the word of God of no effect. Jesus promised before the end time, as it was in Sodom, it would be in this day, it'd be identified. The people so traditional, they made the promise of God of no effect by their tradition, spiritual amnesia. It's exactly what it is. They have forgotten these things. Oh, I belong to this. I done this. I danced in the spirit. I did this. Well, my. That has nothing to do with it. Not at all. Don't matter if you danced in the spirit. Don't matter what you shot. Don't matter if you preached. It doesn't matter. None of these things have anything to do with it. It's your walk with Jesus Christ. The most simple, basic thing. And we get to that and then we jump over that and do all these other things. Because if we do all these other things, it proves we have a walk with Christ. No, it doesn't. Just proves you got religious and you've missed the main thing, if you have. Oh my, let me move on. The promises God has given to us. The promises, let me read some scripture. He said, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as the divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. He has given us all things that pertain unto life through revelation. Everything you need comes through revelation. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. By these you might be partakers of divine nature. Having escaped from the corruption that is in the world through lust. By revelation you partake of the divine nature. The Holy Spirit birthed into you and it sets you free. You've escaped. You've been made a free man from the lust and corruption in the world. Why? By revelation, your knowledge of Jesus Christ. It's not a head knowledge. It's a living knowledge. But you got to experience it. This is what you had to come through, brother and sister. You can be set free. Today you're either freeborn or you're still a slave. What are you? Are you born free or not? Are you a child of the promise or not? Brother Branham told that story about the African slave, and they went to that plantation, and he saw the buyer, he saw him, and he was walking around. He didn't need to be whipped. He didn't need to be ordered around. He had pride. He was working hard. He was doing everything he could. Why? He said, what's wrong with that person? How come he's acting different? He said, because he knows he's a son of a king. He said, back in the homeland, he's a son of a king. He conducts himself as a son of a king. Brother and sister, we are still enslaved in this old flesh. We are still enslaved. We're still influenced by our own nature. But brother and sister, you have been born the child of a king. Act like it. Have some dignity. Conduct yourself with pride in who you are. Child of God. You don't need to be walking around all mopey and down and beat down and whipped out and had to be whipped to go to church, had to be whipped to get rid of spirits, and had to be whipped to have a good attitude, and had to be whipped to get all this stuff out of you. Walk like you're a child of God. Quit preaching these things. Take God at his word and say, that's me. That's who I am. I've been called to this. You walk through those doors back there and Satan trembles. Say, oh no, Brother Gene came back to church again. Brother Will was just up in Ohio for a couple weeks, and he came back, and we were talking yesterday, and he's 15 years old. Are you 15, Brother Will? And he said, you can tell such a difference between that church and this church. What a shame for us. He said, there is such freedom. He was sitting in the front row, and he just felt the Spirit. He put his hand over on his cousin and just started praying for him. He said, I didn't feel weird. It was just the most natural thing. True. There's freedom. There's freedom. People are growing. They're maturing. Why is there not that freedom here? Individuals lacking in maturity and the walk with Christ. Because if you would bring that spirit in here and mix it with everyone else, we would have that freedom in here. It's coming, brother and sister. The prophet said it. The word says it. We are a New Testament church rising up. Brother Tim sang about it, and he knew it. No, by the way, because he knows what's going on. Brother and sister, we are coming to that point. Get on board and come along. Quit sitting there feeling sorry for yourself. Quit sitting there letting all these things drag you down. Stand on the revelation that God gave you, and let's be a church rising up. Hallelujah. This is exciting, brother and sister. This ain't a beat-down service. This should get you happy. This should say, look what we have coming. We have heaven coming. We have a rapture coming. And when we get to know who we are by revelation, we're going to take a rapture. Glory to God. Oh, how can you sit there with a long face today? Oh, my.
If you do, it's because you're holding something against God. It is. You're holding a bit of unbelief. You're holding something you don't want to let go of.
He says, rejoice, thou barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For the desolate hath many more children than she with having husband. Oh, you can look at all the messy churches, and they're growing and growing. I'm not talking about all of them, but a lot of them. They're growing. They're filling up with people. You say, look at all these messy believers. And you look at this. We say, we haven't heard anything going on. Oh, hallelujah. He said, rejoice, thou that bears not. What is it? Because the
one without a husband, the one who's married to Satan, the one who is mixing seed and bringing forth all kinds of bastard-born children, doesn't have near the numbers we have. We have a husband.
They're married in a lesbian relationship. We have a husband. The church birthing people to herself. We have Jesus Christ birthing people to himself. Oh my. He said, now we, brethren, as Isaac, are children of the promise. Why? Because we're not just getting in church and trying to live a good life. We're not just taking some of the message and trying to put it together to make ourselves good message believers. We are taking the word and letting it birth Christ. We are children of the promise. He said, when the church knows who she is, the rapture will come. When you know who you are, what is it? It's a promise. And you walk in faith as you realize more and more exactly who I am. I'm a child of God. I'm a child of promise. It was promised I'd be here. Here I am. It was promised you'd be here. Here you are. Stand on that promise. God spoke to Abraham, said, you're going to have a son. It's going to be through Sarah. It's going to call him Isaac. You know what that means? Son of laughter. Isn't that what it means? Sarah laughed. Who would have thought that through this church in Dixon... bride is going to be raptured. Oh, hallelujah. Look what this church has been through. Look at your own life, what you've gone through, and laugh. Oh, hallelujah, laugh. Be happy. Give glory to God. Rejoice. The rapture is going to take place right out of here. My
can you be sad?
Brother Phil, I'm not ready yet.
Well, what's that got to do with it? That's just a little bit of unbelief to keep you beat down. If we were ready, I'd be gone too, brother and sister. Hey, none of us ready yet. God, so much grace. He said, I know you're not ready. That's why Phil's preaching this.
Hallelujah.
Brother Jim, we're going to the rapture, whether you like it or not. You might not like me. You're my best friend. And you and I are going to the rapture one day. I believe it, brother. I believe it. God bless you. See, that's called standing on that promise. That's what that is. That's a child of promise right there. I'm just going to stand here and feel good like I did Thursday. I'll tell you what. You know why? Satan's on the run. He's on the run. Why? Because believers are accepting the word. We are a New Testament church. He said, now we as brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so is it now, brother and sister. If there's persecution going on, it ain't the bride persecuting, it's the non-bride persecuting. Or it's people who don't realize who they are persecuting. Oh, get to know who you are. Let God reveal it to you. He says, nevertheless, what saith the scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son. That is hard. I've seen my family walk out, never to come back. Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. You're the child of the free woman. You're a son and daughter of the free woman. Why? You've been birthed by the promise. You've not been birthed with some kind of religion. You've not been birthed with some kind of holiness you can live. You've not been birthed with some kind of sensation. You've been birthed by the promise. You were promised to be here, and here you are. And you cast out the rest. A couple of Thursdays and weeks back, a preaching, and he took the quote and he said, you're preaching to the dead. It wasn't the people sitting here. It was those people who claim to be a message believer, but they reject the word because they will only walk in the flesh and how they feel. They will not walk in the promise, and they are the son and daughter of the bondswoman. He said, get rid of them. They're defiling your church. They're defiling your church. Get them out. How do you get them out? By preaching the word. The word makes people uncomfortable. The word makes your old flesh uncomfortable. It does. It makes mine uncomfortable, so it better be making yours uncomfortable. It dries it out. Boy, it's good to be a Christian. My. Then he says this, so then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. Be not entangled again with that yoke of bondage. I can promise you this. This past week, especially some of you Horners, you went through some of the hardest battles of your life. Why? Because that's that demon that you walked out of here and you knew it was true what I said, and you came and you all shook my hand, and you, Brother Cody said, thank you, he knew it's true. But don't sit there and think, well, that demon ain't going to bother me anymore. I bet he harassed you all week. Why? Because he got to fight not to let you go. Oh, just remember the word said, I cut off his head. Oh, he's going to try to make you think he hasn't. The word will not return void. It will accomplish what it was sent for to do. I believe that with all my heart. Oh my.
what God has doing for what God has for us, folks. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by your feelings. You know that's not what he said. By the washing of the water, by an anointing. By washing of water, by your righteousness. But that's what Satan tries to convince you. He tries to convince you because you don't live good enough yet. You better not claim you're a believer. You don't live good enough. You still have these problems. You better still sit around feeling bad. No, brother and sister, he has washed you by the washing of the word. That's why Satan keeps you out of church. That's why he keeps you out of church, because he knows this word will set you completely free. Oh my. You say, well, I'm a believer, Brother Phil. Well, your actions prove what you are. Walk like a believer. Walk like you're set free. Act like. You say, well, I got this problem. You know what? That slave I was talking about, he can look at the shackles on his hand. He can look like I got people tell me what to do. I got to get up. I eat what they tell me to do. I'm a slave. But he said, you know what? I am free. Where? In my heart, I'm a free man, because you cannot put me in prison. Nobody can put you in prison. No one can enslave you if you don't allow it. I don't care if you're in prison, you're a free man if you're free in your heart. Oh my goodness. Do what they want to this flesh. I'm a free man. Why? Because I'm walking in the liberty where Christ has made me free. Now don't get entangled again with those old nasty spirits. Oh, he said, might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that should be holy and without blemish. And you know what Satan does? He comes and says, well, you sure got a lot of blemishes. You still have this problem, you have that problem, you have that problem, you have that problem, you have that problem. And Jesus Christ is sitting there to see what you respond to that. Because if you say, yeah, you're right, devil. I do. Jesus wants to kick your tail. You say, Jesus doesn't kick people's tails. Okay, he doesn't. He wants to grab you by the collar and shake you and say, what are you confessing? Do you not believe in the blood? Why are you counting the blood as of an unholy thing as if it's not great enough? Because when you claim the blood, Satan can list all the issues, all the problems you have, and I look through the blood and I don't see a one. So why are you confessing that you still have them? Why don't you take the mind of Christ and say, I've been set free. Calvary set me free. God, I still have the problems. And you're going to have problems until the day you get out of that flesh. Now stop looking at the problems and start looking at the blood, because he set you free. Amen. How dare you confess that you're not free after what he did for you on Calvary. Brother Phil, that's just simple? Yeah, it's very simple. Try it. Because Satan will throw everything against you, because you find out it's that simple thing is the most difficult thing, is to walk in faith when Satan throws all those. Because you're going to get off the phone after cussing someone out. You're going to get off the, you know, you just cut someone off in traffic. You're going to chew someone out. You're going to have a bad attitude. You're going to sit there and feel sorry for yourself a while. And after you're going to say, wait a minute. What am I doing? I'm sorry, Lord. I'm sorry. I don't want to be this way. He said, I forgive you. He will always forgive a repentant sinner. If you're sincere, he forgives you. And just like that, you got the blood covering you again. You, Brother Phil, you're just allowing us to walk, make great disgrace out of grace. Go ahead and try it. See if you make disgrace out of grace. If you are sincere in your heart, you mean it, and you want to be free, and you're not going to be beat down anymore by Satan taking your weaknesses. See if you end up walking in disgrace. I'll tell you what, right now, you won't. You'll find out what it means to walk in faith. You talk about freedom. And if you do start walking in disgrace, don't worry. You got a pastor who will set you straight. By the way, he's going to be back here Thursday to preach, so you don't have to listen to me. So make sure you get everybody back in church. I'm looking forward to it, I'll tell you that. Without spot or wrinkle, holy, without blemish. That's the promise that we have, folks. That's what we are. God looks at you and sees you that way. Do you see yourself that way? If not, why? What are you looking at? He said, because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, an heir of God through Christ. Think what he's saying. You're an heir, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. You're children of God, just as much as Jesus Christ was the Son of God. Think about it. If Jesus could be lost, you could be lost. If Jesus couldn't be lost, you can't either. Do you believe that? Then walk like it. Act like it. He says this, but now, after you have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn you again to the weak and beggarly elements whereby ye desire again to be in bondage? Ye observe days and months and times and years. I'm afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. He says, after you've been illuminated, after you walked in the light, after you know the truth, will you turn back again and let those old spirits enslave you again? Will you walk as a free person? Will you walk free? Let me finish here. He says this. Just a little while we'll be summoned. The rapture will come. Just a little bitty group like Enoch will be taken up. Little group. Then the remnant of the woman's seed that keep the commandments of God, that's the Jews, and have the testimony of Jesus Christ, the Gentiles, will be hunted down like dogs and shall give their life for their testimony. It's the tribulation period. Friends, you don't have to go through the tribulation period. You can be free now. Then one great morning, the break of the millennium for the honeymoon will start. Oh. Think of it. Millennium. We've heard it our whole lives. Have no clue what it's going to be like. I mean, we look what the word says and all, but brother and sister, we don't know what it's going to be like. What about this wedding supper? Can you imagine? I can't. Knowing that a battle is over. Jesus is going to come and wipe your tears away. Going to wipe the remembrance of the things you went through. He's going to wipe the remembrance of some of your family and friends who weren't there. See, on Judgment Day, brother and sister, your current family, if they're in the bride and you're not, they're not going to look at you like, this is my son, this is my mom, this is my wife. It's not going to be like that at all. You're just going to be another person to be judged. And you might cry out, Mama, it's me. Mama. She's not going to see you as her child. That'd be cruelty to her. Think of the cruelty God would require to stand there and sentence your child to hell. God ain't that way. You'll just be another sinner.
Then the rest of the dead live. Then the rest of the dead lived not till the end of 1,000 years. And at the end of 1,000 years, there was a judgment showing that Ham was in the ark. Ham is still there in the remnant. Ones that heard it and rejected it will have to be judged. Now grant it, Lord, that we'll not be considered among them, but we'll be in the call to the wedding supper, for we do recognize Jesus among us today. We're going in with him out of this world into him. Let's walk forth in that city, come out with him. How do you miss it, brother and sister? He said, you recognize Jesus among us today. That revelation of who Christ is today, and you accept it, and you walk in that, and brother and sister, that puts you in the rapture. Now, some of those hunted on like dogs and destroyed, they're going to get life. They're going to receive life. They're the remnant. But those that heard it and rejected it, have to be judged. He said, when that sleeping virgin come and knocked at the gate, that's when she could not get in, for the bride was gone. To realize the very minute that outside denominational world begins to receive this message, that's exactly the hour he's coming. When they went, the sleeping virgin realized she didn't have any oil in her lamp. When she came to knock on the door to get it, that's what exactly when the bride went out, when the wise virgin left. That's right. They didn't get in. No. There'll be a time coming, I believe, when people will be calling up Brother Jerry, calling up me, calling up Brother Jim, calling up whoever. Hey, I need to get right. It's going to be late. I told a small lie. I have to read one more scripture. Please forgive me. I thought I was done. Go ahead and stand. Brother and sister, when that foolish virgin is being hunted down like dogs, giving their life for their testimony, you and I are going to be in a wedding supper. Why? Because he said this. You are coming to Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to the God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. That's what you've been called to, brother and sister. Walk in that light. Walk in that revelation. Realize who you are. Let God continue to do this work in your life. Move forward. I love that it says to company of just men, spirits of just men made perfect. That's women too. Why? Because we've been born again. We walk in the light. This is what God has called us to do. We are the New Testament church rising up. It's not for cowards. It's not for people afraid. It's not for the timid. You want to be in this church, brother and sister. I'm talking about not this church physically. I'm talking about the church, the New Testament church. Brother and sister, you want to be in that, you need to stand on your, you need to have a backbone. You need to have some grit. You need to stand there and face the devil. Look him in the eye and say, I ain't backing down. You hurt my feelings. You do what you want, but I ain't backing down. Why? Because I got too much to live for. I've been sealed away. I've been gathered to innumerable company of angels. I looked my brother and sister in the eye and said, we're going through. This is reality. And Revelation said, but outside the city where the cowardly, the murderers, the adulterers, the liars, that's outside the city. That's not here. God, we just thank you so much. Lord, we just appreciate you coming and speaking, Lord, and encouraging us today.
I pray that this Lord, like you showed earlier, it will not return void, but Father, it will help people to walk in faith, Lord. To stand in unity, to be here among us, Lord. Your spirit, and it's a spirit of driving out the enemy and helping us to believe and encouraging us, Lord, revealing yourself to us. Let each heart receive it, Father. Let each person go from here with a great revelation, not just in their mind, but a revelation has been revealed that who they are, and they're going to stand in this faith. And then because of that, walk like a free person. Walk with the right attitude that when Satan comes against us, even though it hurts, even though the battle is hard, even though it's war, it's the most vicious war, yet they stand there on that revelation. Each one, Lord, and help us to see a growth. Help us to walk forward, Lord Jesus. We're going in places we've never gone before. The bride is walking forward places that she never walked, but Lord Jesus, she's going into a rapture. Don't let a single person here miss it, Lord. Don't let anyone go. Don't let anyone walk out of here without dealing with them. Lord, let each heart have received more of you. Help us to claim who we are. Help us to believe. Lord, we give you the glory and the honor and the praise forever and ever. Amen. God bless you, brother and sister. See you Thursday night.
Near the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel His mighty power and His grace. I can feel the brush of angels' wings. I see glory on each face. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place.
Sing, He is here. Sing.
He is here. Your name. touch him, I will never be the same. And I am down, and oh, my soul so weary, when troubles come, and my heart burdens me.
Yeah. you, Lord Jesus. You got a warning!
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.
You got a warning?
I don't know if there's any way we could have went out of the service without singing this song after being said so many times. Sometimes I have no idea what song to sing, and other times it's constantly thrown into my face over and over and over again. It has been a while since I've sung this.
Rising up. We're rising up.
sing when the battle's over.
When the battle's over, we shall wear crowns. Yes, we shall wear crowns. Oh, we shall wear crowns. And when the battle's over, we shall wear crowns in the New Jerusalem. Oh, wear a crown, wear a crown, wear a bright and shining crown. Oh, and when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown in the New Jerusalem. Oh, and when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown. Oh, we shall wear a crown. Yes, we shall wear a crown. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown in the
on my way to heaven, and the journey gets sweeter every day. Oh, I'm walking with Jesus, walking with Jesus all along the way. Had no time to stay. Well, now my problems weigh you down. They can cause sunny skies to turn to gray. But I'm on my way to heaven, and the journey gets sweeter every day. Save me and he wants.
washed all of my old sins away. Now he leads me and guides me. He protects me and hides me. And he keeps me each day.
All the time, he put us Amen. Amen. It's been so nice at these past couple of services that when I come up here, I don't only just sing two songs anymore. It actually got very depressing. Then I came up, sang two songs, and I could feel everybody was just ready to go.
That's true. That's exactly right.
Now, it's hard to find a place to just stop. So we've got so much to thank him for.
Life got so much to thank him for, so much to praise him for. You see, he's been so good to me. From I've got so much to thank.